to the wonders of you. Please bless him through this talk. Amen.
Cool. Thank you, mate. I'm just going to grab my notes. Here we go. Awesome. So we've made it, right? Last day. Come on. It's sad, but God's still got some stuff to do, right? Awesome. So we've been looking at the kingdom of God over a few sessions where we have talked about kingdom culture. We've talked about what it means to live for Jesus in culture. We've talked about kingdom character, what it means to let God rule and reign in us. And we've looked a bit about the now and the not yet, how we live in a world that is still not yet as intended by God, but yet we can still show God's kingdom in the way that we live as well. And so today, we're looking at kingdom faith. See, I believe that we can have a faith today that goes with us. See, if everything that we've experienced this week, if everything that we've done, everything we've talked about in our groups, if it stays here, then this week wasn't worth it. But see, I believe that God wants to give us a faith that goes beyond this place so that we can believe for God to do impossible things in and through our lives when we leave. See, if you know me, you know I love the beach, right? I will drive however far I need to just to spend some time at the beach, to spend some time surfing in the sea, just being a part of the ocean. I love being in the sea. And see, I love surfboarding. And the thing about surfboarding is when you're on a surfboard and you start to paddle for a wave, there gets to a moment where you either have to go all in or you have to bail, right? You either have to go with the wave or you have to bail and just decide that you're not going to surf. And now I remember one day, me and my dad, we went surfboarding. And so we saw this massive wave coming behind us. And so me and my dad, we get ready, right? We're like, we are not going to miss this moment. And so we get ready. We're paddling. But see, the thing about surfing is you try not to surf the same wave as someone else because you don't want to like snake them and knock them off. And so we're looking at each other like, who is going to take this wave? And see, the moment is coming and we're looking at each other. We can't decide who's going to surf it. And so I end up not standing up when I need to, and I end up falling in. He drops back, and we both end up bailing. His board flips in the air, and it lands on top of my surfboard, puts holes in it. Like, it is not a good moment. We miss the moment completely. See, I believe today we are in a moment. We're in a moment as a result of being here this week, spending time together. And in this moment, we can either miss the moment or we can make the moment. We can miss the moment or we can make the moment. See, I believe that moments can spark movements. Moments can spark movement. God could use a moment. He could use this week to spark something in you that goes beyond this place. Something in your heart, something in your faith that allows you to go into the world around you and share the name of Jesus. We're looking at kingdom faith. Faith in the Bible, in Hebrews 11, it talks about how faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see. It's trusting God when we don't have all the answers. Trusting God in our lives, in a world that might seem difficult and broken at times. It's trusting God in those things, believing that he can do impossible things, even though in my power, I can't do that. And we're going to look at three different points that I think can help us to leave this place with a faith that doesn't just stay here, a faith that goes beyond that, believing that God can use us in our lives and through our lives. See, we're going to look at the story of a guy called Peter in the Bible. Now, Peter, he's a fisherman, right? And when Jesus meets Peter, he's fishing, and Jesus comes up to him and is like, hey, I want to teach you to fish for people. And so Peter's interested. He's like, okay, this is interesting. I'll come with you. And he spends 3 years following Jesus. 3 years where he sees Jesus turn water into wine. Like, he sees Jesus heal people who are sick. He sees Jesus raise a dead man to life. He sees him do these amazing things. But then what happens is Jesus gets arrested. And they're in a garden. Jesus gets taken away. He gets arrested. And so now, in the place that we're going to pick up the story, Peter can't see Jesus. Jesus is away. He's in prison. And this is where the story is picked up. John 18, verse 25. If you've got a Bible, you can open it. Like we spoke yesterday, see, the Bible is the word of God, not just for the people it was written to back then, but it is living, it is breathing, it is for us today as well. So if you've got your Bible, open it up. John 18, verse 25 to 27, says this. Meanwhile, Simon Peter, we'll explain why he's got two names in a bit. Simon Peter was standing there warming himself. So they asked him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "Nah, I'm not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, funny story, we'll get to that, he challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a rooster began to crow. See, who knows, it's easy to react in a moment. It's easy to react in a moment, to act out of your feelings. When your brother is beating you at a FIFA game, you might start to get a little bit mad, even though it might have been a fair game all along. Maybe your friend does something that you've spoke to them about not doing, but maybe actually you didn't explain yourself that well. See, it's easy to react in a moment without thinking through the whole situation. And see, Peter, he acts in a moment. Based on how he's feeling, he loses sight of Jesus. So you would have thought Peter, who had seen Jesus do all these incredible things, he wouldn't be in a place where he would be denying that he even knew Jesus. When I was younger, Christmas time, like not Christmas time, winter time, when it snows, that can be winter or summer in these kind of years. But when it snowed, me and my mates, we would go out and we would have snowball fights. And so one year we went for a snowball fight, but we decided to do this thing. This is not good advice. Don't take this as advice. We would take these snowballs and we would throw them at moving cars. We found it funny, not a good thing to do. And so we were throwing these snowballs. We were like hitting these cars. When a bus came past, it was like a dream. We would just like nail this bus. It was great. And one day we decided we were going to hide behind this bush. This bush was like next to the road. And so we hid behind this bush. And our idea was we would throw the snowball up over the bush and it would land on the car. And so we worked out like the exact moment. When we saw the car at this point, if we threw the snowball up, it would land on this car. And so we're ready. We're getting down. We're ready to throw this snowball. And so we're prepared. And we hear the car come in. And we see something just in the right place. And so we throw these snowballs up in the air. And we wait. And you hear it. It hits the windscreen like we are celebrating because we've just nailed this car with snowballs. Like it screeches to a halt. I turn around celebrating. My friend Charlie, he's just got this ghost-like expression. He's like seen a ghost. And I'm like, "Charlie, what's going on?" And he just points, right? Here's a photo I've got on the screen of the car we just hit with the snowball. Right, this police car has just stopped. Like, we run, we get out of there. We don't want to be caught by the police throwing snowballs. But see, maybe if I'd have seen what the car was like, maybe I would have reacted a little bit differently. Why don't you turn to the person next to you, say, "Look up." Look up. That's point number one of this talk. Look up. Some of you looking at the ceiling right now. Point one, look up. See, I heard a quote when I was younger that I won't forget. It was this: perspective determines posture. See, the way that you see the world determines the way that you will act. It determines what you will seek, how you will respond. See, Peter, he's the king of acting out of his emotions, acting out of his feelings. There's a point in the Bible where he sees Jesus walking on water. What does he do? He jumps out of the boat and decides, "You know what? I can do that as well," and just starts walking on the water. Like, how do you get to that place? Peter, there's another moment which was mentioned before where Jesus is getting arrested and Peter, he's angry, he's emotional, and so he pulls out this sword and he just chops off one of the soldier's ears. And Jesus is like, "Yo, Peter, chill out, bro." Has to pick the ear up, like stick it back on the side of the guy's head. Peter acts out of his emotions. And see, in this moment, Jesus is in prison. He can't see Jesus anymore. He's seen him do all these incredible miracles. But now that he can't see Jesus, he acts out of his emotions. And so when they ask him, "Do you know this Jesus guy?" he's freaking out. Because he's like, if the Son of God can get put in jail, then so can I. If the Son of God can be executed, then so can I. And so he's freaking out. He loses his perspective of who Jesus is. For a man who raises a dead man to life, chains are not the end. And so there's a bit of background about Peter. We mentioned he used to have another name. His name was Simon. And Jesus decided, "You know what? We're going to call you Peter." Why? Because Peter means rock. And you are the rock that I want to build my church. When we talk about church, we're not talking about like individual buildings. We're talking the people of God. This is all of us who follow Jesus. That's a big thing. And see, here's the thing that I want to point this out. This is a bit of a side note. God doesn't call you to a task, a place, or a purpose based on your ability, but what he can do through you. Be careful, like, don't confuse what you can do by yourself with what God can do through you. We talked about the mustard seed stuff the other day. With the kingdom of God, God can use something small and he can use it to make a big impact. And so we might only be able to make a small impact ourselves, but God might be able to use us to do something bigger. And so this is where Peter is at. And earlier in the story, like, Peter's ready. He's following Jesus. He's doing life with Jesus. He's ready to make a difference in the world. But now that he can't see Jesus, he loses his perspective of who Jesus is and who God is. See, when we can't see Jesus, we go back to our old ways. And so Peter goes back to being who he was before. He's not the rock anymore. He was supposed to be the rock, but now it feels a little bit like he's crumbling. And see, where Peter is at is he's lost his perspective. He doesn't see Jesus, but we've all been there. We've all been there. When we can't see Jesus moving in our lives, when it doesn't feel like we're connecting with God, when there's situations in our life that we've prayed about so many times and it doesn't feel like God is breaking through. See, sometimes we lose our perspective too when we can't see Jesus. But see, what if Peter had just seen who Jesus was? What if he'd have just looked up, if he'd have remembered all the miracles that he'd seen him do, how he'd raised a dead man to life, then maybe he would realize that death is not the end, that situation that I'm going through, it's not the end. Maybe today you need to look back at some things where God has moved in your family, where God has moved in your life, in your church, in order to look at what God could do in and through you now. Maybe we just need to look up. See, if we want to have a kingdom faith in this life, if we want to make a difference, then maybe we need to shift our perspective, realizing it was never about what you could do. It was never about what you could do, but it was always about what God could do through you. It says in Colossians 3, verse 2, set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things above. I heard a quote a while ago. It said, God doesn't change what you see. He changes how you see what you see. See, I want to view this life. I want to view this moment off the back of Letton Hall House Party. Matt said something in a meeting earlier. He said, there is life after Letton. See, I want to view my life after Letton. I want to view this moment, these opportunities that I have now when I go home. I want to view it with a God perspective, because on my own, I can't make a difference in my family. I can't make a difference in my community. I can't make a difference in Peterborough. That has to be through God. And so maybe today you need to shift your perspective. Maybe you need to look up. I mentioned a book when I first got here, one of my favorite books. There's a quote in it, and it says this: if it's not too big for you, then it's too small for God. Now, I'm not sure that's that accurate, because I believe God cares about the small things too. But what it is it challenges me. Maybe we need to be a generation who doesn't just pray for the small things, but believes for the impossible, believes that God can heal the sick, that he can raise the dead, that in situations that seem hopeless, that God can come through. What would it look like to pray with that kind of faith? A while ago, me and this was years ago, so it was before she was my wife. This was me and my now wife and my brother and his now wife as well. We all went on holiday, and we decided to do this thing called paddleboarding. Anyone tried paddleboarding? Yeah, okay, everybody's tried paddleboarding around here. I say that in Birmingham, people are like, there's no water here. And so we went paddleboarding. It's basically like these surfboards that are like inflatable, and you blow them up, and you stand on them with a paddle and you paddle along. Now, we tried to do this because we'd never done this before, and so we went and got these paddleboards. Like, I was ready. I was like, I've surfed, I've skateboarded, we're going to be fine. And I get on this paddleboard, and I'm telling you, this was the most difficult thing I had ever done. Like, I could not stand on the thing. I just kept falling in. Like, my wife, girlfriend at the time, she was fine. She was stood on it. She was paddling along. Like, fine. I don't know. I can't even blame it on, like, marriage weight, because we weren't married. Like, something was going wrong. I just kept falling in the water. And it got to a point where I was just fed up. Like, I was done with falling off this paddleboard. And I decided I'm just going to lie down. And so I'm just, like, laying down on this paddleboard. Like, I just given up, right? Anyone fancy a lie down after this week? It's been a bit tiring, right? See, because when life gets hard and when we keep falling off, sometimes we just feel like it's easier to just stay down, right? It's easier to just lie down and chill out. But see, if you've ever watched any sports movie, what do you do when you get knocked down? Right? You've got to stand back up. Here's point number two, is stand up. Point number two, turn to the person next to you, say, stand up. Don't all jump on your feet, it's good. Just say it. Stand up. See, Peter, he denied Jesus. He had the wrong perspective. He'd lost sight of what Jesus could do because he'd lost sight of Jesus. And so he was left with all the things that he couldn't do on his own. The impact that he couldn't make. His failure. He was supposed to be a rock, but now he's crumbling. You'd have thought after all he'd seen, he'd have the right perspective. He believed that God could do incredible things and that this was not the end for this situation. But that's what he did. He failed, and then he just lay down on his belly. And Jesus has to teach him something. He has to teach him something. We carry on. John 21, verse 15. If you got it on your Bible, get it up. John 21, 15. It says this. Jesus has just been raised back to life. And we know as Christians, this is like the most important thing we believe is the death and resurrection of Jesus, as we talked about earlier in the week. But it gets to this point. Jesus is just raised back to life. And he has this conversation with Peter. Here's how it goes. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Like, random. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Like, you're taking the mick at this point. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Let me explain something real quick. Jesus doesn't ask questions that he doesn't know the answer to. Sometimes he has to ask us questions, not because he doesn't know the answer, but to change our perspective, to change our opinion, to change our views, and to make us rethink. Three times he asked Peter, do you love me? And that must have hurt, right? The first time, the second time. But by the third time, I reckon Peter got it. See, because every time Peter failed, every time Peter denied Jesus, denied that he knew him, Jesus gave him another chance to say, yes, I love you and I will follow you. But it doesn't just stop there. There's these weird things that Jesus asked Peter to do. He asked him to feed sheep, to feed lambs. Like, it doesn't make sense. But here's what Peter must have understood from this. See, love is shown by how we stand. It's not something that we just say, but it's something that we do. And so we get to this point. He has to be taught. He has to retrain his perspective. And now in this moment, he realizes he has to do something about it. See, when you love somebody, don't look at anyone, right? It's going to get awkward. When you love somebody, it wouldn't make sense for you to just, like, not buy them any flowers. Like, you buy somebody flowers if you love them. It wouldn't make sense if we didn't ever say the words, I love you, to the people that we love. In fact, it really wouldn't make sense if we love somebody and we completely denied that we knew them, full stop. See, making a difference in our world, making an impact in the nations, living a life that people can be impacted by long after we are gone, it means not just changing our perspective, but it means making a stand. We've got to stand up for what we believe. And maybe for you, when that teacher drives you mad, maybe that means when fighting for justice might get a little bit difficult, Maybe it's when that friendship gets hard, or when you don't want to show sympathy for your sibling who just keeps getting themselves in that mess. See, love is shown by how we stand. Those are the times when we have to be consistent in our character. We talked about character early in the week and how it's important to allow God to shape and change our character. People like Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa, people who said, you know what, I'm going to stand for this no matter what comes against me. It's important that we stand and are consistent in our character. And if we're following Jesus, that's saying, Jesus, shape my character and shape me. I want to stand for you. And see, God can help us to do that. And maybe today you're in a place where it feels like the dreams that you had have been a little bit crushed. It feels a little bit hopeless. See, I believe today that if that's you, God can help you stand again. There are people around you who can help you stand again, so that you can regain that faith, regain that perspective that God can do things in and through your life. See, Peter, he didn't stand. He laid down on the board. Jesus had to teach him and retrain his perspective. See, I believe that this is a generation that will stand, not a generation that will bow down. Not a generation that will accept what it's told. Those statistics that we looked at the other night, that's not this generation, because we've seen you guys care for each other. We've seen you guys pray for each other. We've seen you guys believe for impossible things in your families and in your situations. That's not our generation. We want to be a generation who do what we've been doing while we've been here. And that doesn't stay here. That goes beyond this place. This is a generation who will stand. The truth of Jesus is far too important for me to stay laying down. Point number three is this: step up. We're not going to watch a movie about some dance crew, right? Point number three, step up. The last thing, once you've stood up, you've got to do something about it. And last night we spent a little bit of time looking at what areas of culture could God use me to impact. See, making the moment, making a difference requires us to move. See, Nike's got it right. Just do it. We've got to do something if we want to make a difference. It's more than just a perspective. It's more than just standing. It means doing something about it. And maybe today for you, that means sharing your dreams and goals with somebody that you trust. Maybe for you, that might mean giving a homeless guy a coffee in the morning. Maybe if you're a Christian here today, then that might mean sharing Jesus with your friends who don't know that you're a Christian. Maybe if you're a Christian here today, then that means trying to get your friend to come along to youth group with you. I don't know what that looks like in your life, but what I believe is that love is shown not only by how we stand, but we need to do something about it as well. It says in the Bible, we talked about this verse a while ago, go into all the world and make disciples. This is what Jesus says to the disciples before he leaves. It's an action. Go. We've got to do something about it. Matthew 10 verse 8, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and here's what he says to them. He sends them out. He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. This isn't just for those disciples back then. We follow Jesus today. And so those things that were possible in those times, they are possible today. What if God could do those things in and through you? Do you have faith today that you might be able to pray for somebody in your school and they might be healed? That you might be able to go up to somebody and tell them about Jesus and they might know the life that he has for them? Do you have faith for that today? Because those things that were possible back then, those things are possible right here and right now. God doesn't change. He's the same God. It's the same kingdom. If the band, or maybe just the keys player, wants to jump back up, that would be class. There's a story in the Bible. We talked about Israel. We talked about the nation of Israel, how it got brought out of Egypt, and how Moses was leading them out of Egypt. And we talked about the different things that God shaped in their character in that time. But the story goes on. We looked at a guy called Joshua. And it gets to a moment in the Bible where Joshua is ready at this promised land to take the armies of Israel into the promised land. And so we get to this moment. And some of you might be familiar with it. It's the story of the walls of Jericho. And they get to this land that God has promised them. And the walls are so high and they're so thick that they're thinking to themselves, how do we get through these walls? See, maybe there are walls today that when you go home, it might be that your family don't believe what you believe. And it's going to be a hard environment for you to live for Jesus. Maybe there are walls in your friendships. Maybe those walls are difficult. Maybe it feels like you can't be honest about what you believe because your friends might take the mick out of you. Whatever those walls are, I believe that God can do something about it. See, in this story, in the walls of Jericho, what happens is God tells them to walk around these walls. Right? It doesn't make sense. Like, how could walking around these walls help? And he says, walk around them seven days in a row, and on the seventh day, walk around them seven times. And you can imagine them walking. Like, this doesn't make sense. Just walking for the sake of walking. And then he gets to the seventh time on the seventh day. And they blow the trumpets just like God has told them to blow the trumpets. And the walls come tumbling down and they enter the promised land. See, I always thought to myself, like, why would God make them walk around it that many times? Like, surely God could have done that with the walls on the first time. Like, it doesn't make sense that they had to walk that many times. But what I've come to realize is, what if God was using that walk to build faith in them? What if they started off thinking this might be pointless? But maybe by the sixth time, maybe the seventh time, they thought, do you know what? Maybe there's something in this. See, maybe today in your life, there's some stuff that seems a little bit difficult, seems a little bit pointless, that you're walking around in circles, but maybe God is using it to build a faith in you that when those walls come down, you're able to step into all that God has for you. And I believe that that might be when you leave this place. It might be opportunities when you get back into your family, when you get back into your friendship groups. There might be opportunities for you to live for Jesus in those places. What does it look like for you when you leave? There's a young person in our youth ministry. He loves fudge. Like, he just loves it. And he makes fudge. And he, like, his passion is fudge. But he also loves Jesus. And so he makes fudge. And his dream is to own a car that he can drive around and sell fudge. But he doesn't just want to do that. He wants to put little Bible verses on all the fudge wrappers. And he wants to go around giving out those fudge and telling people about Jesus. I don't know what faith looks like in your life, but maybe it's something like that. See, because God can use the small things and he can grow them. That's what the kingdom of God is like. There's another young person in our youth ministry who she became a Christian while we were online, watching online. She got baptized and she started coming along through our youth programs. And then she decided, you know what, the next step, I feel like I need to bring my sister along. And so She was nervous because she was like, my family aren't Christians. They don't believe in this stuff. And she was like, okay, I'm going to do it. She invited her sister along to youth. This summer just gone, her sister gave her life to Jesus. And now those two, they are living for Jesus in their family. They see their family as their mission field to step out in faith and believe that their family will be saved. That's what faith looks like for them. I don't know what faith looks like for you. We looked at Peter a little bit. He doubted himself. He doubted God. He was scared that it would be him on that cross. And so he denied God three times. He didn't stand up when he should have. And after all that he'd seen, after all the miracles that God had done while he was there, he lost his perspective. He lost sight of Jesus. And Jesus had to teach him that it wasn't about who he was, but it was always about what God could do through him. See, he was called Peter the Rock, but in that moment, it didn't make sense because there was no one building any churches on that foundation. But then I think God knew something about Peter that Peter didn't know about himself, because here's what we read in Acts 2:41. This is after Jesus is gone. Here's what it says. Peter gets up and he preaches one of the greatest sermons arguably in history. And it says this. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This was a guy who failed. This was a guy who had given up on God. He'd lost his perspective. And God used him for 3,000 people to come to know Jesus. See, what could God do with the little things that you have today? Maybe today it starts with looking up. Maybe it starts with changing your perspective. See, what's possible here is possible out there. What's possible today is possible tomorrow. We believe in a God that does not change. And so maybe it's perspective. Maybe you need to trust that God can do impossible things through your life and in your family and in your friendships. Maybe it's standing up. Maybe there's some areas where you feel like you need to stand up for Jesus. Or maybe it's stepping up. Maybe there's something that you know you need to do, an action that you need to take. Maybe it is selling fudge. I don't know what it looks like. But maybe there's an area that you're like, actually, I want to make an impact for Jesus, and I believe he's with me, and here's my step. I don't know what area of those three steps it is for you, but I believe that God might want to use you, and God might want to build faith in you, because I believe this is a generation who will be filled with faith, a generation who will believe for the impossible. We're going to break into our groups a little bit. Like, we've done a lot of response stuff where we've got you guys to stand and pray. But here's the thing. When you leave this place, you're not going to have the band. You're not going to have Matt and the team. Like, you're not going to have all of this environment where you can come, where you can worship, where you can hear somebody talk. But you're going to have to be out in the world. And this stuff, we want to carry it with us. And so the people that are going to be with you are the people around you. And so we want you to get into your groups, your letting groups that you've been in through the week. Because they're groups that I believe they don't need to just be groups while you're here, but they're groups that you can text each other, you can encourage each other, you can meet up with each other, and you can pray about the dreams and the plans that you have, the things that God might be building faith in you for. So why don't you get in those groups? And we're going to spend a bit of time just praying for each other. Maybe share what some of those things might be, the dreams, the things God might be stirring in you, the situations in your family, in your friendship groups. Let's spend some time praying for each other.